The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. This is our Gospel for today, this festival of our Lord's Epiphany. Dear friends in Christ, the last few years, you may have heard a lot about the word logistics. If you are unaware, logistics is a coordination of a series of complex events involving many people, places, and objects. It's what all goes into making something happen. Now, a few years ago, UPS started having a lot of commercials and airing a lot of commercials about the logistics it takes to send a package from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world. What all goes into ordering an item, packaging that item up, picking it up, and sending it anywhere, and arriving at its destination on time. Logistically speaking, there is a lot that goes into it. The story of the Magi is one that many of us know and know well. But have you ever thought about the logistics that it took for the Magi to come and worship the Christ child? It was no small undertaking. Logistically speaking, there's a lot that goes into it. So today, as we follow the Magi to the king, we will see that the same logistics it took for them, the same logistics that it takes for us to worship the king. Now, we don't know exactly where the Magi were from. No, we were told that they're from the east, somewhere east of Judea. Now, some scholars figure maybe Persia or Arabia. The truth is, we don't exactly know where they were from. But what we do know is that they weren't Jews. They were from a foreign country. They were Gentiles, not part of God's chosen nation. Like one of us. As far as I know, all of us here aren't part of God's chosen nation of Israel. But we're Gentiles. And yet, these wise men, these Magi, they knew of the promised Savior. They believed in the promised Savior. They knew that a child was to be born who was the promised Messiah, and this child would be the King of the Jews. Now, have you ever thought for a second about how the Magi ever knew about that? They weren't Jews. They lived hundreds, if not thousands, of miles east of Jerusalem. And yet they knew and believed the promised Messiah. That means that someone, somewhere along the line, had to share the gospel. Some Jew who believed in the promised Messiah, who knew that the promised Messiah was the King of the Jews, had to share the gospel with either the Magi themselves or with someone the Magi knew. Someone, some Jew, had to share the gospel with a Gentile. They had to share with them the good news. The Magi couldn't have come up with them on themselves. We have no indication that it was a special revelation from God. No, someone had to share the word with them. And how are you brought to faith? Well, through the means of grace, of course, through the gospel and word and sacraments. For many of us, we were brought to faith through the waters of baptism. When your parents brought you to the baptismal font, when the Holy Spirit worked faith into your hearts, washed away your sins, clothed you in the righteousness of Christ, and welcomed you into his family. For others, we may have been brought to faith when a family member or a friend shared the word with us, when they told us about the gospel of Christ, who would live and suffer, die and rise, so that our sins are forgiven, we are given his perfect life, that we may have eternal life with him in heaven forever. When you heard that gospel, the Holy Spirit work faith into your heart. The point is that someone, somewhere, at some point in time, had to share the word with you. They had to tell you about Christ so that the Holy Spirit could work faith into your heart. And if they wouldn't have done so, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been able to bring you to faith, and you wouldn't be here today worshiping Christ. They had to hear the word. As Paul asks, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we want to share the word with others. But we often hesitate to do just that. Now, we offer many excuses. We give reasons why we don't want to share our faith. It's often because we're scared. Now, we're afraid of what people might think of us or what people might do to us. We don't want to start an argument or avoid any confrontation, so we just keep our mouths shut. Or maybe we doubt the gospel's power. We don't think it's going to work. We tell ourselves, oh, this person's too stubborn. He's such a huge unbeliever. He's never going to listen to me. I'm just going to save my breath. I'm not going to waste my time. I've got better things to do. But if someone decided to save their breath with you, if someone decided not to waste their time with you, they never were to share the gospel with you, and you would not believe, and you'd be on your way to eternal damnation. So rather, we as Christians realize that the Holy Spirit works only through the gospel, so do we all we can to help share the gospel and to support others who do it on our behalf, so that all people might hear the gospel, so that all people, people of all nations, might hear and believe and worship the Christ. So logistically speaking, in order for the Magi and for us to come and worship the Christ, the first thing that needs to happen is the gospel needs to be shared, so the Holy Spirit can do His work and lead people to faith. We don't know the exact faith of the Magi. We don't know exactly what the Magi believed. It seems as if their knowledge of God was somewhat limited. After all, they didn't even know where Christ was to be born. All the scribes and the chief priests, they readily knew the answer, along with pretty much every other Jew, that the Savior was to be born in Bethlehem, based on Micah chapter 5. But what they knew, what they had access to, the Magi studied, the Magi believed, at the very least, they treasured what they were told. For instance, they knew that a child was to be born who would be the king of the Jews. Now think for yourself a little bit. Where in the Old Testament is the promised Messiah called a king? Sure, there are references to him being David. But there's only a few explicit references to the promised Messiah being a king. Jeremiah 23:5 comes to mind. These days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Zechariah 9:9 is another one, a passage we use every Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Magi also knew that a star would appear that would mark the coming of the promised Savior. Again, we don't get any indication that this was a special revelation given to them. We assume that they knew this by studying the Word. So where in the Old Testament is this? Well, truth be told, we're not exactly sure what passage they were thinking of, but it seems they had Numbers 24:17 in mind. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of all the sons of Sheph. The point is, the wise men knew the word that they had. What they had access to, they knew and studied and treasured. And through that word, they believed that the coming of a star would mark the coming of this baby boy who would be born king of the Jews. And when they didn't know the answer, when they weren't quite sure, they sought answers. They weren't satisfied with the limited knowledge that they did have, but they went and asked those who would know or who could find out for them. The application for our lives is simple. When we follow the Magi to the Christ child, to the King of Kings, we follow the example by studying God's Word. We have God's Word readily available for us. God's complete revelation at our fingertips whenever we want. So we know it, we study it, we treasure it. That means we study it at home. We read God's Word or we read devotional books. We study God's Word with others here at church in Bible classes on Sunday morning and or on Thursdays, or better yet, at both times. We are never satisfied with the limited knowledge of God that we do have. We always want to know more. We're always searching for answers. And when we don't know, when we search the Scriptures and we can't find out, then we have the opportunity in many different formats to ask those people who do know. So logically speaking, as we follow the Magi to the King, we follow their example in studying and reading the Word. And following the Magi to the King obviously means that we follow their example in worshiping him. Something that you are doing today. Now just think about what it took for the Magi to come and worship the Christ child. Again, they could have traveled hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles. Maybe on foot, maybe riding on donkeys, maybe on camels, we don't know. We don't know what they did for a living. They may have been astrologers, but they put aside their livelihoods. They possibly left their women and their children, left foreign countries, traveled through foreign countries, maybe put their life on the line, all to worship a baby or a boy. They put their lives aside for the sake of worshiping Christ. And when they got there, they offered him gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. These weren't throwaway gifts. They weren't what they had left over. Gold, of course, has long been considered one of the world's most precious metals. Frankincense and myrrh, both resins made from sap, dried sap, used for various purposes, but neither frankincense or myrrh were cheap gifts. No, these gifts were the best of the best. The best of what they had to offer, they gave to this little boy, not holding anything back from this king. Again, the application to our lives is obvious. Let us follow the example of the Magi in worshiping our King. Let us put aside everything that hinders the worship of our Savior. Let's make it a priority to praise and thank Christ for everything He has done for us, both now and throughout our lives, to sing the praises of our God and King forever. If that means that we have to give up certain things, if that means if other things get pushed aside like friends or family or fun, then so be it. And let us follow the example in our gifts that we give to the Lord. Let us give Him the best of the best of what we have. Not holding back, but giving great generously to Him, not because it's expected of us, not because people might look down upon us, but because we want to. Because He is the King of Kings, our God, our Savior, who's come down from heaven in order to give us eternal life. We graciously and willingly give graciously to Him because of everything He has done for us. Think of the logistics it took for the Magi to believe in Christ, to come and worship the Christ. First, someone had to share the gospel with them so the Holy Spirit can work faith into their hearts. They had to read and study the word that they did have. They had to put aside their lives for the sake of Christ. Those same logistics still stand for us today. And it's all taken care of already by the Lord. Because of Him, you will arrive at your destination, your heavenly home. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.